stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify. Trouble.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
What's going on, Toronto? You listen to Radio Basics, the radio wing of Basics Community News Service, also associated with Basics Community Newsletter. You may have seen that being dropped at your door here and there in the hood. Y'all know you can check us out at basicsnews.ca for our regular news updates. Paper comes out every 2 months. If you're interested in helping us out, you can check us out. Email us at basics.canada@gmail.com. On today's show, we're going to be talking with former Virginia inmate and a survivor of the so-called finger-bending technique, a torture practice where the fingers of prisoners are bent back to the point of being dislocated and broken for the smallest of pretexts. Our guest tonight, John Gaskins, is also the current Minister of Information of the New African Black Panther Party Prison Chapter, which operates out of the Red Onion State Prison, where one of its founders, Kevin Rashid Johnson, is also imprisoned. Last week, Basics broke the story with an open letter written by Rashid on the torture being conducted at Red Onion State. Today, we talk to one of its survivors. Stay tuned for that after our commercial break. At the end of our show today, I also want to hear your thoughts about what you think about the upcoming provincial election. Clearly, there's a lot in the balance, no doubt. But, you know, are these elections really going to be decisive in determining whether or not you have a job next year? You know, whether or not you got to take out tens of thousands of dollars in debt to go to school? You know, are you sick of voting for the lesser of evils? Is that what democracy is all about, you know? So we want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want to hear from the listeners what you think about these upcoming provincial elections. You know, if you're voting and you've chosen a party, that's okay too. But I especially want to hear from, you know, roughly the half of the population who's deciding not to vote, who can care less. Or it's not that they don't care less about the political issues at hand, but it's that none of the options, you know, are moving them to vote. The thoroughly uninspiring options, which people, most people, at least half of people can clearly see are all more or less going to attack working class people's interests, you know, in the next provincial, you know, government. But first, headline news. In local news, Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair eyes a bigger budget that creeps ever closer to the $1 billion mark. Despite Mayor Rob Ford having asked all city departments to reduce their budget by 10%, Police Chief Bill Blair seems to think that his police force should be exempt from cuts to public services and the bloated salaries of city bureaucrats. Blair has laid out a $944 million budget, or an increase of $15 million from last year's budget, which he says is needed to cover the new labor contract settlements with the police union. The Toronto Police maintains a staff of roughly 7,500, 5,441 of which are uniformed officers. Since 2004, the number of police officers making more than $100,000 a year has risen from 200 to well over 1,300 in 2009, the last year of which I couldn't find statistics for. That's an over 600% increase in the number of officers making more than $100,000 a year, or over one quarter of the police force. Salaries and benefits alone make up 90% of the operating budget for Toronto Police Services, which Bill Blair would now like to see increased further. In international news, this past weekend, workers in Portugal rallied against austerity attacks. Hundreds of thousands of working people rallied in Lisbon and Porto with the General Confederation of Portuguese Workers and organized protests against the austerity measures being imposed by the International Monetary Fund. Toronto electricity and gas bills rose from 6 to 23%. Speaking in Lisbon, the union's General Secretary, Manuel Carvalho da Silva, said, quote, "When they attack our rights, when poverty and injustice are growing, then our struggle has to be generalized. It has to become everyone's struggle." The government insists, the Portuguese government, insists that it has no choice but to hack back workers' rights and sell off state property to fulfill the conditions of a 78 billion euro loan it negotiated with the European Union and International Monetary Fund in May 2011. Also in international news, the hunger strike of prisoners in California resumes. It is day 8 in the hunger strike of prisoners in California, with official reports indicating that some 12,000 prisoners have refused food for more than 9 consecutive meals, at least. The prisoners are protesting the torturous conditions in California prisons, including an end to long-term solitary confinement, the provision of nutritious and adequate foods, the expansion of constructive programs, and an end to the use of the punitive imposition of gang status criteria, especially as a form of political repression. The current hunger strike, which began on September 26, follows the historic and unprecedentedly large hunger strike in July 2011, when thousands of prisoners across California went on hunger strike. That strike ended on July 20th after officials agreed to some concessions, including a review of policies governing the state's controversial security housing units, where some inmates have spent decades housed alone in windowless cells. Since then, strike leaders have accused corrections officers of failing to carry out the promises. The resumption of the hunger strike on an even larger scale and the resolve of prisoners in fighting for their core demands is posing a serious challenge to the U.S. industrial complex. This in the context of the execution of Troy Davis a couple weeks ago on September 21st, which occurred to the shock and moral outrage of many Americans around the world. In other international news, the U.S. ramps up its warmongering against Pakistan as it makes allegations of its ties to the so-called Haqqani Network. Barely 5 months after the controversial assassination of what we were told was Osama bin Laden by U.S. Special Forces in Pakistan, America has found its new boogeyman for its war on terror and a new pretext to ramp up its warmongering against Pakistan. This time it's the so-called Haqqani Network, which the Admiral Mike Mullen, chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, has alleged to be an arm of Pakistani intelligence. The U.S. has been bombing Pakistanis with unmanned drones since 2004, with casualties running into the thousands. And this is in addition to its bullying of the Pakistani government to launch increased military operations against its own people in North Waziristan. The U.S. and the Karzai regime in Afghanistan are blaming Pakistan for their own inability to defeat the stiff resistance to the United States-led NATO occupation in Afghanistan. So now the U.S. is looking for a fuller pretext to attack and invade Pakistan and to impose their own regime on the country. That's all we have for headline news. Let's go to a commercial break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Basics.
Community Radio,
CHRY
105.5. The hole, the bucket, the can,
the box, the hole, the bin,
the chiller,
lockup,
maxi,
the shoe,
solitary confinement,
the cell was probably like maybe 7 feet, maybe 9 feet long.
Maybe 9 by 6.
It's very small.
The cell was a windowless cell.
The walls were cinder block.
The floor, it was concrete.
The bed is concrete. There's a small concrete slab that serves as your table.
You had nothing in the room but you.
It's hard to describe nothing.
Just your lonely body in a cell that's empty. That's what solitary confinement is.
Metal and cement.
That was it.
The light.
There's lights on most of the night.
Double neon light.
The light would be on sometime 24/7. It never went out. The situation I was in, they never turned the lights on. The lights were out 24 hours a day. There was a big door that closed, and you didn't hear anything outside of the door.
It can get eerily quiet in these places.
Real quiet.
Most of what you're going to hear is your own breathing. You might hear your heart rate pumping up. And so when there is a noise, it's just nerve-wracking.
Coming onto the tier, it's a heavy steel door, and it opens electrically. Which means you hear.
I really wanted to talk to somebody, you know, just somebody to be there.
You can go days without talking to people. Sometimes weeks, sometimes months.
You can't touch anyone.
No human touch.
Except for aggressive touching by guards when they would come in to chain me up to take me out.
Even if you have family, there's no contact visits at all.
There's a glass in front of you with the person visiting you on the other side.
My daughters were trying to kiss the glass and kiss me through the glass.
It was painful. It's very painful.
I've spent 7.5 years in the control unit.
Maybe about 12 years in lockdown.
I was there for 29 years, you know.
Many, many years in solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement is just as real could be. It could wipe the mind.
It damaged you psychologically, you know, because human beings need to interact with each other.
It's not normal to be in the dark for days and days and days on end.
I could hardly sleep, like I had insomnia.
Waking up at night in the sweats, panic attacks.
It would trigger something in my nerves where I would break out in hives from head to toe.
I lost track of time.
There's no concept of time. You know no time in lockdown. There's sleep and awakeness. That's it. And the madness in between all.
I would try to hear things, try to hear human voices. And sometimes I would imagine that I was hearing noises.
You start hearing things that's not even being said.
And say, yeah. You know, yeah, what? And nobody's answering.
The anger, the rage, bitterness, the anxiety, the nightmares. And as years passed, it just seemed like the walls in the cell began to close in. You could feel your mind like trying to escape from you.
And what happens is chaos.
Insanity.
They'll say the end of the barrel. That's what the prison officials call it.
Call it maximum security, administrative segregation.
Control unit.
Stigma unit.
Isolation.
Special housing.
La Solapa.
You know, on and on and on and on and on.
So many of them.
I will say torture chambers. No other way to describe them.
Of course the torture. It's torture from a fashion.
The audio you've just been listening to was from a short video documentary made by the American Friends Service Committee, and that's available at stopmax.org. And those torturous conditions that many American prisoners are facing, in fact, upwards in and around 200,000 men and women are locked in solitary confinement in U.S. prisons. Just one of the forms of torture, one can argue, many prisoners in the United States are facing. Another form was the topic of our discussion here tonight on Radio Basics. Last week, BasicsNews.ca published an open letter from Kevin Rashid Johnson, who's a leading member of the revolutionary prison-based organization, the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter. And that letter detailed the routine practice of a torture technique known as finger bending, which is being applied to many prisoners at the Red Onion State Supermax facility in Virginia. You can read more about that on our website. But on the show with us tonight is a fellow member of that organization, the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter. He is the Minister of Information, John Gaskins. And he is a survivor of this finger-bending practice, which has left his fingers disfigured and easily dislocated. John, thanks very much for being on the line with us tonight.
Yeah, sure, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. So I understand that you spent about in and around 5 years at Red Onion State. Can you tell us about the conditions that you experienced, including this practice that we're talking about now?
Okay. I mean, obviously, the conditions at Red Onion are pretty inhumane. The finger bending technique is basically takes place when, you know, prison officials find some sort of pretense, you know, false or real, to come into a cell to do a cell extraction, you know, remove the prisoner by force. Mm-hmm. And after they, you know, fully, you know, restrain the prisoner or whatnot, he's totally, you know, defenseless. There's six men laying over top of him. You know, he's his fingers are bent back one at a time, you know, and until they're broken. So or at least there's an attempt made to break them. And I mean, when this is going on, man, you hear guys, you know, screaming out in pain and, you know, they hear the guards laughing, you know, very sadistic. But the finger bending technique is only like, one of the practices. You know, they have this thing called 5-point restraints also. And that's where they'll strap you to a bed naked, you know, put, restraints on both wrists, on both ankles and one across the chest. And, you know, guys are left there for 2 to 3 days and they're forced to defecate on themselves, urinate on themselves. You know, they may not eat for a day and a half, 2 days, that sort of thing. You're left in the cold. They also have this thing, man, it's the covering of both windows. The back window in the cell is covered anyway, a red onion, all the windows are covered.
The windows outside? The outside?
Yes, so you can't see outside of red onion. But they also cover the front windows in the cell where you can't see out into the unit, into the pod area. And this, you know, amounts to sensory deprivation, of course, and that's a form of torture. So there's all sorts of practices that's taking place there, right?
So we have the finger bending technique, what you've described, the 5 points restraints. Reading an article, another article that Rashid, you know, your comrade in the organization, has written recently. He speaks of an actual torture unit that is being constructed at Red Onion State, something of in which the techniques that were being applied and developed in Guantanamo and to Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib are actually, they're looking to apply those things at Red Onion State. Do you have any information about that particular torture unit or if it's being used?
Okay, I do, and, you know, I'm pretty sure it is. I left Red Onion in January of 2010. I went to Walnut Ridge before they constructed these two units, this new unit.
Mm.
But now they're officially calling it a SHU. Before, they were denying that a Super SAG unit even existed. Now they're saying, okay, we do have a SHU program.
That's the special housing, so-called special housing units, right?
Yeah, the so-called special housing unit.
This is actually one of the things the California prisoners themselves are protesting against.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So in this unit, though, the guys say, well, they can't have TVs, they can't have books, and it's supposed to be like, oh, they can't have razors. A lot of guys in there that have mental health issues that shouldn't even be at this prison. The prison specializes in, you know, security, not, you know, any sort of psychological treatment, you know, nothing. It's just, you know, security. So a lot of these guys shouldn't even be there. And they have those guys in there, that adds to the torture. They're beating on the doors all day and, you know, that sort of thing to create more misery for the guys that's there. But, you know, all of this stuff is from, you know, my correspondence with prisoners. I had left before they constructed this unit, but, you know, I'm sure that it exists.
So you say that the pretenses by which they're using to apply some of these, in effect, I mean, these are torture practices. You say that sometimes they're real or perceived, you know, flimsy. Can you describe some of the reasons for which prisoners are actually facing these conditions and are experiencing these tortures?
Definitely. You know, a guy may serve lunch. And, you know, the denying of a man his meal is also a pretty regular practice. So, you know, they may deny a man his meal, or he may get his meal and there may be something missing on his food tray. So when he complains to the guard that, you know, something is missing on this tray, you know, especially if it's, a real bad guard, man, he'll say that the guy, you know, is refusing to give back his tray, and which still doesn't constitute them coming in to remove him by force, but, you know, the officer may say, well, he threatened him. You know, he saw a weapon in the cell or something like that. And they'll even call in the doctors, man, the so-called psychiatrists and all this, and they'll say, well, yeah, this man is threatening to kill himself or, you know, he's threatening to hurt staff, so, you know, he needs to be restrained at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you do come out of your cell, you know, of your own consent, then you have to go in what's called ambulatory restraint, which is actually a medical procedure. But you know, they twisted it so they can do it for punitive, you know, purposes. So most guys aren't trying to go on ambulatory restraints. That's basically to strip down naked, and they put shackles on you, put handcuffs on you, and run a short chain between the two. So you can't even stand up straight. So most of the guys will be like, well, if I have to go on them, then you have to come in and get me by force. But
so this is these flimsy pretenses leading to the, you know, the imposition of these ambulatory restraints is part of what is leading to these cell extractions, these violent cell extractions you're talking about.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So I understand that there was, you know, one particular case in where a lot of resistance was waged against some of these practices, and there was one particular unit where a large number of prisoners resisted coming out of their cells, and there was a wave of violent cell extractions back in 2007, I believe it was, right?
Definitely.
Can you tell about that case?
Okay. All right. We were in one of the Super SEG units, which was C3. The other one was C4. So they had handpicked all of these, you know, officers, man, to come into the unit and, you know, just you know, take guys' trays, beat guys, you know, to discourage them from coming out of their cells for rec, for showers, all of these things. So, I mean, it just got to a point where, you know, guys were like, well, you know, we have to do something. We have to do something. Because it's not like, you know, they're just, you know, slapping guys around, you know, something that's, you know, not acceptable, but, you know, it's something that we can, you know, we can live with. It's like, at this point, man, they're killing guys. You know, guys have been killed in these units. So, you know, our survival depends on us, you know, coming together and putting together some sort of action. So, you know, we cover up all of our windows, and there's 13 of us. We cover up all of our windows and, you know, demand to see the major or the captain.
Mm-hmm.
The captain comes in. He says, well, you know, nothing is going to change. You know, we're in control of this unit. We're not conceding power to the prisoners. So, you know, ultimately they came into all of our cells, 13 of us, man. It took them about 6 hours. You know, the cell extract all of us. And, you know, this was the first time that I had my fingers broken, you know. I was actually one of the last to go. So I didn't know until they came for me why these guys were screaming. And, you know, some of the guys came out of the cell crying.
So you weren't aware at that point?
I wasn't aware. But what they were doing was, after they restrained these guys were totally defenseless. They would bend their fingers back. They'd bend your toes, try to break your toes, squeeze your testicles. You know, all of these sadistic things, man. So
it's completely punitive.
Completely punitive. You know, then you go on ambulatory restraints, you know, for 3 days. That's naked, no clothes, it's freezing in the cells, can't stand up straight, no mattress, no nothing. We didn't eat, you know, so definitely. But, you know, in any case, it was a strong, you know, stance of solidarity on our part, and, you know, it was a beautiful thing. After that, they busted the unit up, though. Like, you know, it's too much cohesion in here. These guys are trying to fight together, so yeah. We definitely got to bust that up.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the solidarity and resistance that you've seen and experienced, a bit more about your organization. But just before we get to that, you know, Rashid, in his recent open letter, he was telling us that, which just came out last week, you know, what you're describing was in 2007. Rashid just came out with this letter a couple of weeks ago describing how routine this practice is. How many people, you know, do you understand this to be happening to? How routine is this?
Definitely. I would say that it's probably happening maybe, you know, at least 5 or 6 times a month that, you know, guys' fingers are actually broken or some other bones are broken. But, you know, it seems, you know, to the general public that these practices are, you know, starting to die out or lessen to some degree, but they aren't. It's just that the prisoners are being intimidated.
Yeah.
You know, so that they're being intimidated into silence.
Can you describe what this has done to your hands, or what have been the consequences of this technique that was applied to you?
Definitely. I have a hand right now that's, you know, partially crippled. I can use it. But, you know, it's deformed. You know, two of my fingers, you know, the knuckles on my middle finger and my fourth, and my, you know, on two of my fingers, you know, the bones protrude, the knuckles protrude, and, you know, I can't ball my fists up. it's broken like three more times after every time that my hand hits something a little too hard. I may just swing my arm by accident and hit a wall, and it'll take the bones out of the socket. So, you know, they're crippling guys, you know.
Yeah, you know, when I first read this story from Rashid, I was especially moved, because I know that Rashid, you know, in addition to like losing your function of your hands or partial function, I know he's also an artist, and I'm not sure if this has been interfering with his artistic creativity at all, but this is outrageous. So tell us about some of the resistance that prisoners have been waging. I know that the organization you're part of, the New African Black Panther Party Prison Chapter, in part created itself, it seems, to not only resist these conditions, but to try to revolutionize the entire society around it, that of which this is just a microcosm. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Okay, definitely. Well, you know, the NABPP Prison Chapter, we've modeled ourselves, our program, you know, after the original Black Panther Party. The aim is to bring the party out into the street, you know, out into mass-based society, where the prison chapter is only, you know, a small branch of a much larger organization. Mm-hmm. You know, in general, is to, you know, serve the people, whether in prison or in society, as a means of raising consciousness. You know, people are going to make revolution, they first have to survive. These programs, whether it's a discussion group in prison or feeding the children program in society, they're not going to change social conditions within themselves. It's just like, you know, survival kits, a soldier survival kit, you know, but mm-hmm. he has to survive if he's going to make revolution. So, you know, in prison, man, we've tried to, you know, raise consciousness, and we've done that, you know, to varying degrees. Of course, our efforts have been disrupted, you know, every chance that the authorities have had. Me personally, when I went to Wallace Ridge, I was never able to stay in the general population because they would always frame me. My first week there, I got framed and, you know, said it was a knife in my cell, which the officer, it was a knife in my cell, but the officers put it there. And just before I left, they said I was trying to organize a group demonstration, some sort of work stoppage. So, you know, our efforts were frustrated on every level, but we were able to build a small cadre there.
Yeah.
And, get guys to participate in small, you know, small resistance struggles, you know.
Mm-hmm. I understand that one of the calls of the party is to turn the concentration camps into schools of liberation, to create cadre that when they make it back out into society, they can play a positive role in not only uplifting the people, serving the people, but also, you know, building a revolutionary movement. And I guess you yourself attest to that. You know, so what kind of work now are y'all doing on the outside?
Definitely. Well, I mean, right now it's still an embryo. We did an art exhibit for Rashid. You mentioned that he's an artist. He's an, you know, extraordinary artist. So we did an art exhibit. I've had a lot of speaking engagements. We just had a, you know, a book event for his book, Defying the Tomb, at this bookstore in Washington. I've been speaking to all these students in Howard next week. I have to be at Howard twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to Buffalo. And, you know, right now it's just agitation. I have a lot of friends, man. A lot of people are showing interest, and we are about to, you know, grab some material programs. We're about to go into these communities in Washington, man. They have this area, man, you know, southeast. This is the worst the city has to offer. I didn't know until a couple of days ago that Washington, D.C. has the second highest poverty rate in the country, only following Mississippi.
Hmm.
So, some city in Mississippi. So, you know, what we want to do, man, is within the next 6 months have a free breakfast program or free, you know, feed the, you know, people program. It doesn't necessarily have to be a breakfast program or just for children, but feeding people. We want to do a food drive. Right now, I'm waiting for some condoms to arrive. We're going to go out in the community and pass them out and talk to people about, teen pregnancy and, you know, the dangers of unprotected sex. So, you know, right now we're just getting off the ground, but we've organized a discussion group, and hopefully we can turn that into a broader political education class. So, you know, we're moving forward, right? It's just getting started. I've only been out of prison 2 months, but, you know, we're moving forward with it. So.
Oh, you just been out 2 months. So after Red Onion State, then you were at Orange Ridge?
Warren's Ridge.
Warren's Ridge. Where was that?
That's about 20 minutes from Red Onion. And then they extradited me to Maryland.
Okay.
Which I have to go to court on Friday. So, you know, it's still not over. After Friday, you know, it should be over.
All right.
So,
well, best of luck to you, comrade. So, you know, the last thing I want to ask you about is, you know, to many people who usually are maybe not aware of these issues, you know, maybe they don't have a lot of exposure to what's going on inside the prisons. Maybe they don't have direct family member or friends who are in the prisons. Though, I mean, I'm up here in Canada. It's difficult for me to imagine that in the United States with there being millions of prisoners. But how do you, I'm wondering how you're reflecting on what's going on in California and spreading to other parts of the states right now with the hunger strike that has reemerged out of California based on, you know, the demands that prisoners are putting forward to challenge some of the conditions, in fact, that you've been describing to us on the show tonight.
Okay, definitely. Well, as you said, the strike has resumed. And, you know, this Pelican Bay hunger strike is so significant in the sense that it's one of the largest, if not the largest, nonviolent demonstrations ever to take place within the U.S. prison system. You know, with over 12,000 California prisoners spread over multiple states participating. You know, it's this great show of unity by the prisoners. And it's been received well on the outside also. There's been and will continue to be solidarity movements just springing up all over the country. You know, for prison, you know, it isn't this isolated island of oppression. You know, the conditions that exist there, they do interlock with social issues, you know, faced on the outside. You know, no one can deny that oppression is oppression, no matter where it's found. And people are starting to recognize this. It's like, you know, they're building all these prisons and, you know, it doesn't make society any safer. You know, and, you know, all of these family members, man, it's like, you know, these are your sons and your daughters that they're putting in prison. So, you know, people on the outside are getting involved, man. I think that, you know, this hunger strike is just beautiful and it should be replicated or something.
Yeah.
You know, similar should be replicated all over the country, you know.
Is there anything else you want to tell us about the new African Black Panther Party? Anyway, people can find out more information about that organization.
Okay. Well, right now people can contact me at John Gaskins Hotmail, johngaskins@hotmail.com. You know, people can also contact me on my telephone if they really want to get in contact.
You know, why don't we just say that people know how to get a hold of Basics, Radio Basics, which is, you know, basics.canada@gmail.com. So if they're looking to get in touch with, if there's anybody who's a serious community organizer, wants to get in touch with the new African Black Panther Party, I'll put you in touch with John Gaskins.
That works. Yeah. That works. But the party is coming, man. The Panther is coming back. I mean, the time is now, man. And, you know, conditions have never been more ripe, you know, in this country, man.
Definitely.
So people have real needs. They need to be addressed. And, you know, we're the Vanguard Party, and we're about to address them.
Yeah, you know, just a little background for some of our listeners who may not know, or maybe they're newer, you know, migrants to North America, or maybe they just see the distortions of the original Black Panther Party. But, you know, the original Black Panther Party was not just it was a black revolutionary organization, but, you know, from what I can recall and from my, you know, readings of history, they really worked alongside all sections of the working class, right? Like Puerto Rican, white, you know, the Appalachian white folks coming down into the cities to find work, you know, Chicanos, the American Indian movement. So how do you also follow those politics of, you know, multinational solidarity and building the revolutionary forces amongst the, you know, the multinational working class?
Definitely. Black Panther Party was then, I mean, it was formed, you know, in response to the conditions that exist. I mean, segregation was legal, you know, at this time. You know, so it was necessary to build that sort of structure. But, you know, Huey Newton, he coined the phrase, you know, the Black Panthers said, you know, they're nationalists and internationalists. So, you know, we're definitely following that, man. And, you know, we're willing to work with anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not just organizing in black communities, you know. We're working in any community that actually needs, you know, needs to be worked in. You know, this is an international battle. You know, capitalism. You know, it's a global. This is a global thing, man. You know, so we are replicating the original line of the Panthers. So we are an internationalist organization.
No doubt. And you know, in the spirit of that internationalism, the track I'm going to drop after I'm done this interview is a Philippine American hip hop group, Power Struggle. The track being three basic problems looking at Filipino society. But John Gaskins, man, thank you so much for being on the line, brother.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And anybody wants to get in touch with John Gaskins and the New African Black Panther Party, can call CHOY right now, 416-736-5656, or you can email basics.canada@gmail.com, and we'll link you up with their organization. John, brother, thanks a lot for being on the line with us.
All right, Steve. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, good night, comrade. All part of the people.
All right, you too, brother. All right, in solidarity, man.
All right,
brother.
Good night. Contradictions of a country where corruption is king, and crooked politicians are connected to strings. Puppet governments, prostitutes, or pimps, allow a corporate conglomerate to do what they wish to every Filipino immigrant that wonders why they in America for a piece of the pie. Break it down so the people understand what we're saying. Puzzle, three pieces, problems are basic. We got to let it flow, head to toe, every individual. Take a little stroll all throughout the archipelago. Take it back, what was stole, water it and see it grow. High that stereo, shooting through your bullet hole. Gotta keep it critical, make it for the several centuries of the same old. Typical canonio, status quo, people stand up, gotta play a role. Young or old, people come together now. Take control, make it grow, gotta do for you like you do for me. Staying true, coming through for community. Now just imagine if we all had that unity. Came together and seized the opportunity to keep moving. Each movement is a progression. Gotta keep doing what we doing, taking more lessons on the past and the present. Yeah, we still protesting against this oppression for real. No question. Nagbudyok, nagmula sa tuktok ng mga sudapang nagpagapang sa mga taga-bundok. Walang tuldok hanggang di daman ang lupang ina. Ang kalayaan, sinong nagahari? Kilala mo ba sila ang bigas natin? Sino ba ang kumakain habang ang busa ng amo na nag-ani lumalalim? Patuloy ang simbolo ng circus at ang simbolo ay triangulo. Dahil sa ang angulo mo, tingnan ay angulo. Tignan mo at pakiramdaman, lumalalang karamdaman ang inang bayang sinilangan. Magagawa ng mga buhay ang politiko. Ang kabuhayan ay tuhod ng lubog sa putik ng bukid at ang lubid na sumasakal sa ating liig ay humihigpit sa bawat gabig ng magkabilang panig. Gamit ko ang 16 na bara para ibog sa upang magmaliwati ang atang lupang ina. We came from immigrants on a pilgrimage. Promises of getting money in the land of milk and honey's pillages. Second class citizens, the bridge built diminishes with images of militaries pillaging our villages. Indigenous tribes were minimized. Parang nawawa ng kaluluwa ng Pilipinas. That's why I spit militant the Filipinas. Spirits rise, but hala na they mystery gods. Metro Manila, the ghetto's a killer. Nobody wanna help, that's why we kept so guerrilla. They force your allegiance, of course it's strategic. Now we got a visiting forces disagreement. It ain't no secret, understand that, my brother man. On the other hand, Uncle Sam raped my motherland. Once again, a third world victim of America. That's why I pimp this whole system on a regular. Ang bawat masa, hanggang kailan pa magdudusa? Ang dami na nga ang problema para pa napaparusa. Minimithi ang kalayaan para sa masa at bayan. Mga dayuhan pumunta dumating ginawa ang kayamanan. At ang mga resources, and the biggest and the largest, ay tayong mga tao na kapalit, dugo at pawis. Kaya maraming kababayan sa Pilipinas umaalis. At kung hindi nyo pa rin pansin, then open your eyes and you will notice. Simula noon hanggang ngayon, ganito na nangyayari. Para nga ba lahat na lang, eh iba na nagmamayari. Tayo nga nag-araro, iba naman ang kumikita. Hinahayaan ang gobyerno dahil sa larin ang kakapera. Kung mayaman ay umayaman, paano na nahihirapan? Nasa na ang kalayaan? Pumapangit ang lipunan natin. Iklaban ang karapatan ng mga inapis. Sugat ang baligtarin at ang sulok at akin na mahulog sila pababa na hagdan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine living on a garbage dump, digging for your daily bread, trying to save your children from the future that lay your head. Agitate, organize, mobilize the masses, trying to take the power back, fighting these fascists. A lot of Filipinos in America don't understand why the country of their origin is in the foreign land, controlled by foreign interests. Industries that you invest in, stealing all the elements, the rest beneath the earth's flesh. Gold, coal, silver, copper, earth, wind, fire, water, sons and daughters defend the country. From the country to the city to the country, it ain't funny when the U.S. government trains squads to death that attack peasant farmers till nothing's left. Hunting down activistas, president goes deaf. Crooked politicians always bowing down in the West.
Imperialismo, e-bagsak, feudalismo, e-bagsak, buru ada kapitalismo, e-bagsak, GMA mismo, bagsak.
You're listening to CHRY 105.5 FM, your community radio.
Radio Basics, we're back here on 105.5 FM, CHRY. The interview you were listening to was with John Gaskins of the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter. And he was talking to us about some of the torture that he experienced at Red Onion State Prison in Virginia, where the prison guards are administering a so-called finger-bending technique, breaking prisoners' fingers on the most, you know, the smallest of pretexts. Basically administering torture, one among many other forms that are being administered in American prisons. We also listened to a short radio documentary just before that from the American Friends Service Committee, which you can check out at stopmax.org. The last part of the show today, you know, I thought about talking a little bit about the upcoming elections. So we have provincial elections coming up on September 6th, and I really wanted to hear from my listeners. You know, I'm not sure if you've decided to vote. Roughly about half the population, half of the eligible electorate chooses not to vote. And, you know, every set of elections, you know, post-elections, we hear the rants and the basically the mainstream media talk show hosts on other stations, not on CHOY 105.5, you know, basically condemning the people as ignorant, as stupid, as not really appreciating their civic duties and their responsibilities for voting. And, you know, I take a completely opposite line on that. I think that a lot of people's reasons for not going to the ballot box is that not only do they see that 1 hour, 2 hours a waste of their time, but they really can't distinguish between the three main candidates that are presented to them, or maybe four if you include the Green Party. I think this reflects a profound crisis in liberal democracy. And that's the crisis where the poor can see that the rich are running the show, and whatever candidates are thrown up in front of them, for the most part, people ain't seeing anybody that represents them. Generally, we get into a politics of lesser of evils, where it's about blocking the least favorable or the worst candidate that is put up. I want to know what you think about this. If you have anything to say, give me a call. Let me know what you think about liberal democracy here in Ontario, in Toronto, in Canada. You know, here we in Toronto have experienced three sets of elections this year. You know, so we've had to experience months after months upon months of being, you know, basically bludgeoned over the head with, you know, get out and vote. It's the only way to make a difference, blah, blah, blah. So if you have some thoughts on that, call CHOY 105.5. I want to hear what you got to say. 416-736-5656, 416-736-5656. I only got a couple minutes left on the show, so if you want to talk to me, holler at me. And if not, then I'll check you next week. This is Radio Basics. I'm gonna go out with a track, but if I get any calls, we'll put you on the air. Like I said, we only got a couple minutes left, so call now. And join us on our show coming up during the CHRY annual fundraising drive, Sound Around the City. It's going to happen from October 12th to 22nd. We really want you to call in, you know, help support community radio. CHRY is one of the, you know, the strongest, one of the very, very few last remaining campus community radio stations, truly independent here in the city, serving the people. not only the student population here at York University, but the Jane and Finch area community, which surrounds our radio station. Enough support and activity from the community up in the radio station. So if you like what you hear and you're asking yourself, why is CHRY different from those other stations that just be talking nonsense or, you know, be attacking the people in many, many different ways, it's because we have that independence. And it's because of support from people like you, our listeners, that allow us to, you know, do what we do. So let's drop another track from Power Struggle. And yeah, if you got something to say about the elections, holler at me. 416-736-5656, Radio Basics. This is Air Out My Lungs.
Take my coat off after a long day of working and searching for satisfaction and purpose amongst distraction. Burst of enthusiasm to get a chance to write a verse. The challenge is the circumstance of everyone on this earth spinning like a nickel, flipping in the air to land some luck. Ended up with a can of beer and a pack of smokes, a mattress truck. Chilling with my brothers on the stoop, chopping politics, economic state of things, and how a job's a followers. Flower petal pulling like she loved me a lot. I can't come. Trying to find a woman that's in line with my politics. Wondering when we are gonna be the advocates. Fighting contradictions like sipping drinks and pumping this. At a club, at a show, and I should be at home. Or on the streets speaking peace and loading up that megaphone. Urban gorilla, lyrical mirror, people of color. Brothers and sisters need to unify before they kill each other. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun, I keep going till I'm done. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun, I keep going till I'm done. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun, I keep going till I'm done. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun, I keep going till I'm done. Keep it cooler than the Cadillac, you fooling, then I finish. Now my mission is to give them something beautiful that they can grasp. Like I was then searching for a sense of self. Luckily I had my pops, homies, daddies wasn't there. In the end the ashes go, throw your baggage in the fire. Stop packing what you own just because you're uninspired. Underneath that thick skin pumps a heart of desire, searching for that real love and not what's on a club. La Maria waited 8 years till a man was set free. Never once fell out of love. Together they shared destiny. Examples of beauty that exists amidst all the hate that permeates in this racist city where we celebrate. Like we got nine of them. Dogs in the lion's den. Arms shooting backs of men. Laws not applying them. Violent environments. Puffing up an iron chest. Offering rides to hell on the back of a Leviathan. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun. I keep going till I'm done. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun. I keep going till I'm done. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun. I keep going till I'm done. Air out my lungs like the barrel of a gun. Seen the cycles of the sun. I keep going till I'm done.
Around town, started started breaking down the system which you live. How you was foreign policy, made us immigrants, taking it way back to when whites came on ships, broke our backs, took our land using whips, guns and crosses. Now my folks walk whips, guns and crosses. Now my folks wanna act like bosses. It's all bullish. This is the word of the people, not the pulpit. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. I work with kids on the street that are eager to advance, but they can't, cause they ain't got nothing in their hands. And it hurts when I see one of my kids on the block at the spot serving what it is, keeping watch for the cops who are racist. They hate all of us, you can see it in their mother faces. This is us, this is it. 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 I ain't a gang rap killer with a rap sheet iller than a Stephen King thriller. Never seen a blood spiller. Good nerd living, cooking, rhyming in the kitchen. Mama working all night, wouldn't let me be a victim. Give me science and religion to explain how we living. Rice and fried chicken, get them through another winter. Drinking liquor like a sinner, always been a good tipper. Cause the worker, so a server, gotta bring family. Paint a picture like my homie, drama, peace and release. Demons, other people seeking freedom, searching for Eden. Still believe in God, but God don't believe in us. Cause we trust in God. Dollar bill more than the will to love. Rub my will with blood and I'll leave what I got. A couple silver bullets that never got shot. Call me superstitious, I'm a shit without a doc. A soul without a body, wandering the block. This is us, this is it. 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 Got that hunger like a boxer coming out of Project Living. Power struggle, repping Frisco from Excelsior to Mission. Steady mobbing, find my calling, walking through the jungle like a freedom fighting rebel. Serve the people, not the devil. Mold them like metal, make them sharper than a Cupid dart. Artificial freedom for the movement, I'm making art. Freedom ain't official if majority are broken. Start writing what I see, let Mr. Ray press record. Steady getting busy, got a million rhymes I wrote before. Probably write a billion more before this record hits the store. Rappers lying raw, like they got a lion's roar behind it all. Is an image, is it an A&R, signing for, signing off. But y'all keep your heads bopping. Ain't nobody stopping as long beats keep beat rocking. Fat gums, E.T., know me, Mr. Ray. Power struggle, one love from the Bay to L.A. This is us, this is it. 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 This is us, this is it.
We're living in the belly of the beast.
Yeah, we've been dropping Power Struggle all night. That's a Filipino-American hip-hop group on the West Coast. Got enough love for these cats, man. I met these brothers in the Philippines this past summer at a conference, the International Conference on Progressive Culture, where I was there representing Radio Basics and Basics Community Newsletter with some of the other people in Basics and some other, you know, cats from Toronto and across Canada. And I met Power Struggle out there, and these are some serious brothers. And, you know, I think that what defines a revolutionary or artist that really is you know, a true progressive artist, a true revolutionary artist, is one that serves the people, that makes their music reflect, you know, the struggles of the people, and really paves the way forward for their struggles by, you know, painting a beautiful picture. And this is really what these brothers are doing. You know, DJ Eric Tandok and Nomi, who I met in the Philippines. So I've been paying them enough love, dropping their tracks all night. That last song was Artificial Freedom from Power Struggle featuring Mr. Ray. And the next track I'm going to drop for you is What Goes Up. So check it out. That's going to be the last track for the night. Radio Basics. If you want to know more about our organization, if you want to get our newspaper delivered to you, check us out at basicsnews.ca. You can email us at basics.canada@gmail.com. And, you know, check it out. For the upcoming fundraising drive that CHRY has going on, Sound Around the City, you know, if you're making a donation of $30 or $50, there's a whole bunch of prizes we're going to be getting you. And you'll learn more about that when the fund drive actually starts. But what I'm thinking of doing, and I still got to check with the Basics executive on this. So for any of the executive members listening, you know, we got to discuss this. But what I'm thinking that we should do in Basics is if you make a donation to CHRY 105.5 of $30 or more, not only will you get one of those CHRY gifts like a mug or a t-shirt or a hat. I'm not sure what the gifts are for this year, so don't quote me on that. But I'm thinking that Basics should give you, our loyal listeners, a subscription to our community newspaper. We'll mail it to your door. If not, we'll deliver it to your door, to your hood, to your building ourselves, because that's what we do anyway. We deliver Basics as a free community news service all across the city. So we'll get it to you. So check it out. Listen in on CHRY 105.5 from October 12th to October 22nd. Listen to our show in particular, October 17th. And yeah, we'll drop you with a Basics subscription. Pending that's all right with all the other comrades in Basics. So let's go out with another Power Struggle track. This is What Goes Up. And that's all I got for tonight, Toronto. Much love. Radio Basics, we're out.
Filling our forms to conform to social norms. Born in bathwater, border the slow slaughter. Watch for my window as the world twists like alcohol. Workers of the world whisper while the boss eats his dinner, waiting for the poison to hit his liver. Chosen horse be my ideology, not alone in my dome. Every home across the globe with no food on the stove knows what goes up, 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 comes down. While y'all be up, we reload our rounds. Who controls us? Us, the paper. Ain't got me trust, watch that money enslave. Up, 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 comes down. While y'all be up, we reload our rounds. Who controls us? Us, the paper. Ain't got me trust, watch that money enslave ya. Politicians never politic with people like us. Values versus conditions, creating divisions. If two people are poor, come from different religions, you can get them to fight like Muslims and Christians. Ain't just stressing folks in Iran and Iraq, but the Bangsamoro people in the Philippines cat are in the back of our building where the guns go bang over colors and numbers, cause it's a money thing. What goes up, 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 comes down. While y'all be up, we reload our rounds. Who controls us? Us, the paper. Ain't got me trust, watch that money enslave ya. What goes up, 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 comes down. While y'all be up, we reload our rounds. Who controls us? Us, the paper. Ain't got me trust, watch that money enslave ya. Walking through the city feeling kinda shitty, cause the money in my pocket could never set me free. An honest day's pay ain't enough to get away from invisible chains that attach to my brain. Tractors and cranes building towers of shame, trying to touch the sky, stay away from the stains. On the sidewalk, back alleys, tenements, hustle serving medicine and junkies getting hella bent. Capital belt bust from overconsumption. The motor production will be owned by the public, so my brothers and sisters get a piece of the pie. That's why they say peace when they saying goodbye. They own the police, that's why they protect property instead of protecting people that live in poverty. Probably get popped for the rhymes that I rock, cause I talk about the struggles that America forgot. What goes up, 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 comes down. While y'all be up, we reload our rounds. Who controls us? Us, the paper. Ain't got me trust, watch that money enslave ya. What goes up, 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 comes down. While y'all be up, we reload our rounds. Who controls us? Us, the paper. Ain't got me trust, watch that money enslave ya. Yeah, Mr. Ray, fool.
Have a seat.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Oh, what can I do to be of help?
Well, it seems the Bay Area
become a real hornet's nest for subversive activity.